All right, well, I'm very pleased to be joined by Father James Shaughnessy. He's the director of pastoral care at Tufts Medical Center and has an article in the recent issue of America. Welcome, Father Shaughnessy.
Thank you.
This is our travel and pilgrimage issue, and you have an article about a kind of travel I think a lot of our readers probably have tried, which is cruise ships, and you've been a chaplain on cruise ships. Maybe you can talk about how you got into that particular kind of ministry.
Well, it's the kind of thing I laughed about for 20 years or so of other priests that I knew that did it. It sounded kind of frivolous to me. But I spent an awful lot of time in intensive care units and talking with people about the end of their life. And I've been at the hospital for a very long time, so they give me a lot of vacation. And I thought, well, I needed a ways to get away from Boston, away from the hospital, and away from what I do. And I thought being on a ship might be a real good idea. I'm also, like most people that go on cruises, fairly cheap and like to travel. And it's a cheap way to travel. But, you know, I often have said on to people, my father worked in a factory and he had a month off and he worked in for coal distribution during his month off. And I think working on a ship is a little bit better. But it turns out that it is actually working. So I found it kind of intriguing. It's very different. In fact, maybe your readers or listeners wouldn't want me to say this, but I'm not sure I'd ever go on a cruise if I wasn't there as the chaplain. But I find it intriguing and unusual enough to capture my imagination.
Well, you say that how it's both alike and different from some of the other kinds of ministry. Maybe you speak about that, about how these people, you know, they're kind of a captive audience.
Well, I'm a slow learner. And I realized, you know, going on a lot of these over the years, that more and more people were just like me, that is, over 60, looking at the last part of our lives. And, you know, I don't have that much to talk about other than who I am and what I do. So inevitably, I ended up talking a lot about the people I work with normally in the hospital, who have to make decisions about their lives as they grow older. And I have some very strong feelings at this point about the way we make decisions and how aggressive we want to be treated when we're in the hospital, when it's very clear that we're not going to be able to get better. So I've started to talk freely about that, about that, you know, we make choices all through our lives. It's nice to make choices to be on a ship, but I think we have to make other kinds of choices to make sure that, you know, as we face our last phase of our life, we're treated well, with great hospitality and great generosity by staffs of hospitals, but that we look for that kind of treatment more than we look for machines and tubes and things that can separate us from our loved ones.
Well, there's an interesting connection there, as you write about, that there's this sort of loss of independence that obviously happens when you're sick or ill, but also, you know, on a cruise ship, you are constrained by your setting.
Absolutely, and they're both very unusual ways for us to live our lives, even temporarily. In fact, I have a friend, another fellow Jesuit, that's in the hospital right now. And, you know, sitting with him each day, realizing just how unusual it is to be in a hospital bed rather than to be up and around, seeing the people we normally see, doing the things we normally see. It can be very disconcerting. And that's why, you know, I've sort of finally made the connection between people in prison that have had their lives interrupted, people in hospitals that have had their lives interrupted, and people that place themselves in a strange setting, in a ship setting, where there's literally thousands of people around them. They're not used to living so closely in community, and they're not used to living, you know, really kind of in assisted living so closely to one another and meeting new people and sort of being forced to meet new people.
So what does... You say Mass every day, for example. Do you usually get the same people coming every day on a ship?
I do, and that's a bit unusual for, at least for my life as a Jesuit. I'm used to a kind of a continual turnover. I mean, I do have worshiping communities. Of course, my most stable community that I worship with now is at the federal prison. But be able to preach to people in a sustained manner for more than a week at a time. And, you know, as I mentioned in these, repositioning cruises, most of them are in excess of 2 weeks. They go from like 12 days to 14 days. And, you know, so you have a chance for a long period of time to preach to the same people. And there's a certain level of comfort that comes. Also, I realized early on that people that come to Mass every day on vacation are either very strange or very committed. And so the people that mostly that come are the people that really take the membership in the church very seriously. They enjoy going to church. For the church for them has been a huge part of their lives. They are usually the people that help organize and help run their local churches and take a significant role in church life.
And over time, you've started to offer other things for people who are other than Mass. So it's almost like a retreat experience. Maybe you can describe that.
Well, it is, and it simply came out of what some of the people that came to Mass each day were saying. I remember distinctly, he was a Jesuit grad and was a physician, and he said to me at the end of his 10-day cruise, he said, "This is very unusual. This was like being on a retreat." And I said, "Thanks. That's exactly what I would want to hear." And I sort of thought about that. I also, as I say, as I tell stories about the hospital, and as I look at the people on the ship, many of whom are older, many of whom are living with some form of disability, some of whom clearly are on their last trip. A lot of people, I've met people that are escorting a family member with Lou Gehrig's disease for the last time. It's their last, family gathering. And so it's made for people with disability. And in fact, there have been articles written about how it's less expensive to be on a cruise ship than in a nursing home facility. And there's there's just a lot of possibilities of calling people's attention to those that we are living with that require care. And the wonderful examples of people taking care of each other, people that are looking after spouses that are, are maybe mentally limited because of, a touch of Alzheimer's or dementia, or people that, need these little carts to run around in, or people that obviously, some are on oxygen. So there's really a lot of fragile looking people on these ships. You don't have to look too far. People with kids that have, Down syndrome or some other kind of disability. It's rampant, and I just call attention to the kindness that's kind of rampant among the life on the ship. It really doesn't take much to call attention to it because it's so evident once you do call attention to it.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the caregivers. Obviously, this is probably a good experience for those people who are dealing with these illnesses. But for the caregivers, too, this must be a nice opportunity to be with their loved ones but also have a bit of a break.
Well, believe it or not, I have repeatedly met couples who come to Mass each day, and then, they'll invite me to dinner because I'll tell them I'm traveling alone, and it suddenly occurred to me I'm not really inviting myself to dinner because nobody's paying for anybody. It's all paid for. But the number of times that couples have said, we have a son or a daughter at home who requires constant care 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And this is our one experience away from that for the year. So this is the time we take as respite. And really, that's happened to me. I mean, not dozens of times, but it's happened to me a number of times.
That's very interesting. One thing you do offer, we have a picture in the issue of it, of you offer anointing of the sick at sunset. What's the importance of that?
Well, again, I'm a slow learner, but I mean, I've spent 30 years of my life anointing people in intensive care unit settings at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, but it makes a lot more sense to create an environment that's much less hostile and dramatic than that. And I think, perhaps the church can do better at offering the sacrament. It does by having communal anointings in a much safer, less dramatic way in local parishes. But I thought, well, I just saw all these people that clearly have levels of disability and are gifted with old age. And there are people on the ship that you wouldn't think would make it to their local grocery store. They go halfway around the world. They're amazingly courageous, but very fragile. And so I've just decided if I'm out watching the sunset a few dozen times, it makes me think about ultimate things. And so I just kind of made the connections and said, why don't you join me as we watch the sunset and simply pray that our last journey might be without storms and that we might be surrounded by people who care for us and love us, just like it's happening on the ship. Even if they're strangers, they care for us and they look after us in very complete ways. And so it's sort of the transfer of maybe God, who loves us and cares about us, is not going to leave us alone in our last journey. But with the sun setting in the middle of the water and you're in the middle of the Atlantic, and that's enough fragility for me. We're traveling over a mile deep water, and if something happens that's not what we expected and we're halfway out in the Atlantic, the alternative is there are 4 freezers on the ship. There's not a lot of acute care offered in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, these ships these days are so big, you can be on one of them and you almost feel like you're not on a ship because it's so large. But it's, I guess, important to remember that fragility, that you're still out there on the sea, you know, miles from home.
Yeah, and I encourage people to look for the quiet deck where the music's not playing all day, and you can basically just spend time alone, either reading or looking out in the ocean. And that's why I started the retreat dimension, that it seemed like a perfect setting for people to go a little bit further and go a little deeper in what their understanding of themselves are. And, you know, you talked to me a few minutes ago about why I did it, and, you know, I do it to get away from my life in some ways, and a lot of the people on the ship use it to get away from their lives, and that's not unlike what happens on a retreat. We get away from our normal setting, but then in a sense we have a new perspective to look on who we are and to imagine ourselves with God's help in different ways. So it just seemed like a natural advantage of a natural environment. I've been told that Ignatius meant for the exercises to be offered in daily life and usually in an urban setting. So I rather like the contrast of being on what could be just a crowded hotel and urging people to find quiet time once a day and to, with the help of some suggestions about what kinds of meditations to use to be involved in a prayer experience that perhaps they hadn't expected.
Finally, maybe you can speak to, you've addressed this a bit, what this experience has meant to you in terms of bringing it back to your ministry in hospitals and prisons. I mean, are there some lessons that you can bring to those places too?
Well, I think the primary lesson that I bring back is how healing, caring services. And I'm very, very powerfully touched by, there's usually people from 60 to 80 different countries that are working on cruise ships to serve guests. And the way, the work ethic they have and the careful way that they address problems and issues that fragile people have is very inspirational to me. I sometimes say, you know, I wish that the people that I work with at the hospital could take their sense of hospitality and welcoming as well as, you know, these people that work on cruise ships that are from around the world. Maybe it's because the people on the ships are away from home themselves and are aware of how important it is to be welcomed and to be treated hospitably and gently and cared for. Maybe it's because they're lacking that themselves because they're so far away from home. And I don't know, maybe it has something to do with my celibacy. You know, we're built that way, that there's a certain yearning in each of us that perhaps goes out to somebody else in need.
Well, Father Shaughnessy, this is a very interesting article, I think a unique contribution to our travel issues. We want to thank you for it, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Thanks, but just remember, I don't spend all my time on cruise ships. I'm much better known in intensive care units and around very difficult discussions. I only do this now and then. Thank you.
We look forward to your reflections on some of that ministry too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.